नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 13 एंटाइटल्ड द हंसा अवतारा आंसर्स क्वेश्चंस टेक्स्ट 28। यर्हि संस्कृति बंधोयम् आत्मनो गुणवृत्तिदः मैतुर्ये स्थितौ जयात् त्यागस्तद्गुणचेतसाम्। यर्हि संस्कृति बंधोयम् आत्मनो गुणवृत्तिदः मैतुर्ये स्थितो जय्यात् त्यागस्तद्गुणचेतसाम्। यर्हि संस्मृति बन्धोऽयम् आत्मनो गुणवृत्तिदः मैतुर्ये स्थितो जय्यात् त्यागस्तद्गुणचेतसाम्। माताजी संस्मृति मंदोयम् आत्मानो गुणवृत्तिदा मैतुर्ये स्थितो जयात् त्यागस्तद्गुणचेतसा। यर्हि संस्कृति बन्धोऽयम् आत्मनो गुणवृत्तिदा मैतुर्ये स्थितो जयात् त्यागस्तद्गुणचेतसा। यर्हि वेर एस संस्मृति ऑफ मटीरियल इंटेलिजेंस और मटीरियल एग्जिस्टेंस बंधः बॉन्डेज अयम दिस इज आत्मनः ऑफ द सोल गुण इन द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर वृत्तिदः दैट विच गिव्स ऑक्युपेशंस मई इन मी तुर्ये इन द फोर्थ एलिमेंट बियॉन्ड वेकफुलनेस ड्रीमिंग एंड डीप स्लीप स्थितः बीइंग सिचुएटेड जयात वन शुड गिव अप त्यागः रिनंसिएशन तत् एट दैट टाइम गुण ऑफ द मटीरियल सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स चेतसाम एंड ऑफ द मटीरियल माइंड। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। The spirit soul is trapped in the bondage of material intelligence, which awards him constant engagement in the illusory modes of nature. But I am the fourth stage of consciousness, beyond wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. Becoming situated in me, the soul should give up the bondage of material consciousness. At that time, the living entity will automatically renounce the material sense objects and the material mind. Purport. Lord Krishna now specifically answers the questions that the sages originally placed before Lord Brahma. Ultimately, the spirit soul has nothing to do with the material sense objects and modes of nature. But because of one's false identification with the material body, the modes of nature are empowered to engage one in illusory occupations. By destroying this false identification with matter, the soul gives up the illusory occupations awarded by the modes of nature. It is clearly stated in this verse that the living entity is not empowered to independently free himself from illusion, but must situate himself in Krishna consciousness, in full awareness of the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabdhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pre Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Desacharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. The spirit soul is trapped in the bondage of material intelligence, which awards him constant engagement in the illusory modes of nature. But I am the fourth stage of consciousness, beyond wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. Becoming situated in me, the soul should give up the bondage of material consciousness. At that time, the living entity will automatically renounce the material sense objects and the material mind. Hare Krishna. So I beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, senior devotees who are here to speak on this topic. from one of the previous verses over here, in the purport it is mentioned that Srila Sridhar Swami, he points out that the symptom of the material mind is the tendency to consider oneself to be the ultimate doer and enjoyer. So this is a symptom of the material mind, that it is always thinking that I am the enjoyer, I am the doer. And because of this consciousness, naturally he says, with such a puffed up mentality that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, naturally the soul is helplessly attracted to the sense objects. So, therefore now, the four Kumaras are asking this question, that this is the nature of the material mind, and since time immemorial, so we know that the soul is eternal and it has been in this material world forever practically. We don't know how, when we came here, which yuga or which manvantara we came here, we have no idea. We've been here forever. And forever the material mind and the sense objects have been mutual, he says the word that is used, there is a mutual relationship. So they have always, the mind and senses have always been in contact with sense objects. Therefore, how is it possible for the material mind to give up its objects, which are the basis of its existence? So it's a pretty deep question in that sense. And very difficult to speak on this topic, because like yesterday Sridhar Prabhu very beautifully he brought out this point, that this is something that even Brahma, when Brahma, who is, whose whole body is made up of intelligence, and he is our sampradaya acharya, and is the one who begins our sampradaya, when he is asked this question, he says, hold on, I don't know, I'll invite the Supreme Lord to answer. I'll request the Supreme Lord to answer. The Supreme Lord is so benevolent and so obliged to Lord Brahma, that Lord Brahma prays and immediately the Lord appears. He comes in a Hamsa avatar. He comes in one of the avatars, just appears. He probably answers these few questions and goes away. But that is how the Lord's relationship with Lord Brahma is, with the pure devotee. The pure devotee calls out of humility, the Supreme Lord appears. So here we see that Brahma also, though he is the most intelligent human being, most intelligent person in the entire universe, in the material universe, there is no one who is more intelligent than him. He is saying, I can't answer this question. So therefore it is very difficult for conditioned living entities like us to, you know, try to explain this verse. So I will just try to stick wherever possible to the purports that the disciples of Srila Prabhupada have given, and try to, you know, discuss what they have said. So, interesting point to note here is, you know, like Prabhupada gives the analogy of the chariot, where in the chariot, the senses, the five senses are like the horses. The mind is like the reins which control the horses. And the intelligence is like the charioteer who is supposed to use the reins to control the horses, the senses. And then the soul, the poor living soul, the spirit soul, is the person who is the owner of the chariot, who is sitting on the chariot, but is helplessly being driven around by the senses and the mind. The senses come in touch with some sense object, and then the mind... Moment, the senses act just as a, they just convey. They just convey to the mind, hey, I just saw this, kadak. And then the mind reminds, oh yes, previously also you had enjoyed this. So here's an opportunity, enjoy again. So, it just conveys, the mind then, like a, you know, mind is conditioned to act in a particular way. Based on the experiences that we have given the mind responds in that way only. If majority of the experiences we have given the mind are of sense gratification, then very naturally the mind will immediately remind you, see, last time also you had enjoyed, this time also is an opportunity to enjoy, chalo, lag jao kaam pe. So immediately then the, what happens? The mind gives the cue to the intelligence. It gives the signal to the intelligence ki chalo now you start your work. So then the intelligence starts planning that, okay, now what can I do to enjoy this sense object? And the intelligence starts working. So the words that have been used here, the mind and senses are in a mutual relationship where the sense objects give some impetus to the mind to enjoy, mind gives something to the senses. Mutual relationship, they are in a partnership together. Very strong partnership, which has been going on since time immemorial, as the four Kumaras are saying. And then the intelligence acts as the servant of the mind and the senses. The intelligence is actually supposed to, as it is mentioned elsewhere, the superior intelligence is supposed to discriminate and say, no, this is illusion, I don't want this. I'm not going to get into this. That's what the superior intelligence is supposed to do. But what does material intelligence do? Material intelligence acts as a servant of the mind and senses and binds the conditioned soul in a maze, a complete maze, janjal of activities which lead to either material enjoyment or material suffering. So see how all three of these things, you know, these subtle elements, the mind, the senses and the, you know, the intelligence, they all collaborate, come together in a partnership to bewilder the soul and take him away from Krishna. That is what is the job that the intelligence and the mind and the senses are doing. So, I was just thinking about this point, this very powerful statement that the material intelligence awards constant engagement in the illusory modes of nature. It's a very powerful statement. So, we can just think about this for a moment. What is the meaning of this? Material intelligence awards constant engagement in the illusory modes of nature. Meaning what? The intelligence keeps us engaged constantly, all the time. According to what modes we have, the intelligence will keep us engaged. It will never allow us to, you know, think, hey, hold on a moment, I don't want to do this. Because modes of nature are pulling us, intelligence will just keep working in that direction. So it starts practically from our birth. Right from the time we are born, a little intelligence comes. The child is, you know, the baby which is born is actually fully helpless, doesn't have much intelligence fully developed yet. The intelligence is there stored, but it's not manifest yet. The moment the intelligence manifests in the child, you see, immediately the child starts manifesting certain symptoms. So if the child has predominantly been in mode of passion in previous life, same impression comes out here also, and the environment also contributes to that. Of course, if child has been in person, has, the soul has been in mode of passion in previous life and has many unfulfilled desires and has the karma to back it, then that soul is also given a family. Usko, according to his or her desire, that soul is also given a particular family and particular circumstances which allow that soul to continue to engage. अच्छा previously आप mode of passion में थे, आपके सारे desire fulfill नहीं हुए, चलो और एक मौका ले लो, take another opportunity, try again. So yet again they are born in those kind of circumstances and immediately it starts manifesting. First, the intelligence starts acting on a child. If one child is the elder child and other child is the younger child, the elder child immediately, the intelligence starts giving actions. Constant engagement in illusory modes of nature. So, one child will start dominating the other child. You know, so this is mode of passion acting. Then, as they grow older, they will start studying. I am a student. The intelligence is telling, false ego is telling that now you are a student. So, therefore you have to study. Now, according to the dominant mode that the person has, the person will study accordingly. So, if the person is in mode of goodness, the child will study that, I have to study because, you know, this is my duty. I am a student now, so I have to study. So intelligence engages in study. If the child is in mode of passion, then the child will think, I must study because by studying I will get you know, something good out of it. I'll become successful. I'll come top of my class. I'll get certificates. I'll get medals. So that's mode of passion. Mode of ignorance, the child doesn't study. He's like, it's a waste of time. I don't want to do. So, but still he's forced to study. So he studies in mode of ignorance. So the intelligence is working as per the modes. It comes to that point, okay, now you have to do this. And your mode is this, so you do this. Your mode is this, so you do this. So it's working like that. Going forward, sports. I am good in sports. Therefore, if I am in sports, again, see how the modes work. I am good in sports. If I am mode of goodness, I participate in sports. Just to be healthy. You know, it's like, I want to be healthy. I don't want to compete, but I want to participate. You know, play in the good spirit. In the mode of passion, you play to win. In the mode of ignorance, you play to win. Sometimes you destroy others. At their cost, I will win. But I don't care, I will win. So, each stage of our life, you see how intelligence is working to engage us. Subsequently, we get into, you know, maybe, you know, if we finish our graduation and so on and so forth. I start thinking, I'm good looking. I'm good looking, therefore, now I must win the hand of somebody. So intelligence now tells you, start doing this, start working on this. Then after that, it tells you, take a particular kind of job. By taking this kind of job, you will be successful. Again, mode of goodness, passion, ignorance working. Mode of goodness, you think that, okay, whatever job I've got, I'll give it my best. And whatever happens, happens, that's okay. Mode of passion, no, I must succeed. I must be at the top of my profession, no matter what happens. So we see how in every stage later on it becomes about buying a big house, it becomes about marriage, children, and even till the last, you know, as we become older, our intelligence still keeps us engaged in the illusory modes of nature. How? It tells us, now you're old and sick. You do something to overcome this old age and sickness. Apply creams on your face so that you look younger. Take these medicines so that your sickness goes. Start running marathon. Why? Because that will make you feel younger. You're running with young people, you'll also feel young. So start running marathon. So the intelligence gives you no respite. The mind and intelligence give you no respite. Constantly in some way or the other, it is engaging us. But the important point that is mentioned in the purport here is ultimately the spirit soul has got nothing to do with all of this. Koi lena dena hi nahi hai. With all these activities that we are doing, with the intelligence is keeping us engaged, and we feel happy also. I am engaged, you know, I am doing so many things. I am studying, I am getting married, I am having children, I am building big house, I am taking big loan, I am bold, I am taking big loan and make... Whatever you may be doing, intelligence is keeping you engaged. And you feel that you are doing it. But it's the intelligence and the mind that are collaborating to show more and more sense objects. Sense object comes before you and the mind and intelligence tell you, you must have this. So this is how the mind and intelligence are working. But really what is being said here, the soul has nothing to do with the material sense objects and the modes of nature. But because of one's false identification with the material body, the modes of nature are empowered to engage one in illusory occupations. So it is really not that, you know, this is the nature of the soul to be engaged in so many different activities. It is not. The nature of the soul is anandamaya vyasat. A soul wants to enjoy. Nature of the soul is to serve and seek enjoyment in that serving. You know, it receives that pleasure in serving. That is the nature of the soul. So many different activities which all of us do day in and day out are not the nature of the soul. That's what's being said here. We have nothing to do with this, you know, with all these activities and all the modes of nature. So, how is it that we get stuck? How is it that this happens? So, you know, you can take the story of a farmer. That there was a farmer, you know, successful, fairly okay, successful farmer who decides to leave India. He gets a job in Middle East and he feels ki yaar yahan pe farming mein kya rakha hai, what will I earn over here, what I will support my family, what I will educate my children, let me go to Middle East. So he goes to Middle East, and once he goes to Middle East, over there he starts working, doing some menial labor, because he's not very qualified. So he doesn't get a good, you know, job. Nobody's going to give him farming over there. So he gets into some menial labor. He starts doing menial labor, which is completely against his nature. As a farmer, he's a Vaishya. He's actually a person who is using his asset, which is the land he has, he's using his body in the service of Mother Earth, creating something. He's a creative person, he's creating something. But here, suddenly he moves from Vaishya to Shudra profession, he starts working for somebody. And in that working, no matter whether he likes it, he doesn't like it, whether he's inspired but not inspired by it, he is forced to work day in and day out. He is working like a donkey, purpha, bhava, ma, you know, like foaming at the mouth, slogging away, doing something which is against his nature. Sometimes, and as a result of staying in that country, in that region, what is he forced to do? He is forced to adopt the practices that are followed in that region. Uska un practices se koi lena dena nahi hai. He is not got connected culturally, religiously, in any way with any of these things. Just the fact that you are living in that country, you are forced to adopt the taur tarike of that country. You are not given a choice. You are living here, chup-chap follow karo. You have no choice. So, he is forced to follow the rules. And if he makes a mistake in the course of following rules, if he makes one mistake also, what happens? He gets arrested. And then, he can't say, hey, hello, in my country this is allowed. Sorry. Here the laws of this land apply. Therefore, he gets arrested. And once he gets arrested, he can be stuck in prison forever. He doesn't have much control because he is living in a foreign land. He is bound by the laws of that land. All his knowledge of his country, all his nature related to his country, his habits related to his country are not acceptable over here. And if you make a mistake, you are arrested. And then after that, for you to come out of that maze that you have got stuck in is very, very difficult. So that's the point that is being made in this purport, that similarly, the spirit soul has got nothing to do with the mind. It's got nothing to do with the mind. It's got nothing to do with these sense objects. It's got nothing to do with the three modes of material nature. But because we have accepted a material body, because we want to enjoy separately. Just think about it. We have brought this upon ourselves. Hum log voluntarily spiritual world chhod ke Middle East chale gaye. Ye hai hamara Middle East. This material world is our Middle East. We have come to a foreign land. We don't belong here. We belong to the spiritual world, but we have left the spiritual world of our own desire. Thinking ki, maybe I'll do better there. Maybe I'll enjoy more there. So there is some enjoyment. Not to say there isn't. There is some enjoyment. But what happens as a result? You lose all your freedom. You are engaged in activities which are against your nature. Over a period of time, we start accepting that this is okay. This is my nature. Cholo yaar, kya kare? Karna padega. I'll have to do this. So therefore, you are forced to do those activities and mentally the mind convinces you, it's all right. At least you are earning money. No, were you earning so much over there? Wahan itna kama rahe the kya? You were dependent on the, you know, on the monsoons. Whom are you dependent on? Nobody. So the mind and intelligence convince you that what you are doing is okay. Thoda inconvenience hai. Thoda freedom chala jata hai. Little bit, you know, you have to accept what you are not really, you know, made for. But that's okay. You are getting your enjoyment. You are making your money. So what? It's fine. So, we choose this because of false identification with the body. We are in this material world. And then we have to enjoy and suffer as per our karma. And the three modes use this intelligence to keep us occupied. So, what is being mentioned next in the purport is that for the conditioned living entity to get out of this entanglement is next to impossible. Very difficult. Why? Because from time immemorial this has been going on. Same thing. It's not that it's a last 2-3 lifetimes this is there. So thode time ke baad ye khatam ho jayega. Then you can go back to Godhead. No. Same thing we have been doing in different bodies, in different maybe countries, maybe in different yugas and different kalpas, different planets, but same thing. Intelligence engaging you in multiple activities, illusory, you know, in the illusory three modes. This is what has been going on from time immemorial. So how do we break out of this? So Krishna is saying it is impossible to come out of this entanglement. Only way is engaging in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna says that he is the fourth stage of consciousness, which is beyond wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. Of course, Prabhuji spoke about dreaming and very beautiful yesterday. So I'll not talk about that. But the point that is made here is that without engaging in this fourth state, it is impossible to get out of this maze of activities that we are stuck in. Not possible. So, what is these four states? Let's just quickly discuss for a few minutes that what are these four states. So, first, three states are, the most common states are wakefulness, meaning you are awake. Then there is dreaming, where we are dreaming of something that which is not. And then there is deep sleep, where there is no even. So, like Prabhuji mentioned yesterday, that's like mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. So, majority of the world's people are in these three modes. Majority. Either they are awake and doing some activity as engaged by the intelligence, or they are dreaming about things that, you know, they want to do or they don't want to do, whatever. You know, dreams are always something. Dreams are very rarely correlated with reality. It's not that yesterday you had some experience, nice experience, you'll dream about it the next night. Very rarely, very, very rarely that happens. Normally, dream may what comes? Something which you have not seen before. It's a very exotic thing. Sleep itself is, like Prabhuji said yesterday, it's a very exotic thing. Very, very less understood thing. We don't even know what is sleep. You know, the way in the night when you, you know, at around 10, 10:30, depending on what time is your sleeping time, your body is conditioned to that. At some point, one by one, the circuits just start switching off, you know. Slowly but surely. It's such a beautiful thing. We don't realize, if this was not happening, like Prabhuji mentioned, you'll die. If you don't sleep, you'll die. If you don't sleep for 2 days, we become delirious. You know, I remember when I had got dengue, I couldn't sleep for 2 nights. I became delirious. I started talking some, you know, gibberish. It happens. So sleep is so exotic that how slowly, you know, you slip out of your awake consciousness into sleep consciousness, and then you go into either dream state or deep sleep. So majority of these people of the world, of the people in this world, are not even aware that there is a fourth state. Here in this Bhagavatam verse, Krishna is saying, I am that fourth state. So everyone is only aware of three states. And the fourth state most people are not even aware of. So this fourth state, you know, many people actually during wakefulness also take to the dream state. How do we do that? When you're awake, people take to the dream state by taking intoxicants. By taking all kinds of intoxicants, while awake, they go into that dream state. And they feel that they're in an elevated stage of consciousness. You know, people say, right, that, you know, by doing this, I feel, you know, light. I feel in an elevated stage of consciousness by doing this kind of intoxication. So Prabhupada, you know, when he was preaching to the hippies in the early days of ISKCON, many of those hippies were actually taking drugs. They were taking drugs. They were taking intoxication of different kinds. So one has to imagine what is this process of Krishna consciousness and what is the impact of a pure devotee, that he was able to extricate them, like, you know, just pull them out of their drunken stupor, out of their state of intoxication, and take them to a higher state of consciousness. So what is being stated in this verse
was actually practicals of that. This is theory. Practicals was what Prabhupada did with the early devotees. Practicals is what our Guru Maharaj did with us. Pulled us out of the illusion that we are and brought us into this Krishna consciousness. Elevated stage of consciousness. So, this fourth state could be looked at as God consciousness. You know, when Krishna says that I am that fourth state is Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. Can be manifested in three different levels. Consciousness of Brahman, consciousness of Paramatma, and consciousness of Bhagwan. So the three levels of God realization are this fourth stage of consciousness. So a person who is, you know, he has, with his material intelligence, we will always be in one of these three states. We will never come to the fourth stage by material intelligence. Very rare. But when one uses the material intelligence, somehow by some good fortune, one comes in touch, you know, with scripture, with some spiritual person. May not be proper, you know, bona fide, but some spiritual angle comes in. And the person starts reading scripture, starts associating with people who are in mode of goodness. Because of that, the material intelligence is then used to gather spiritual knowledge and to engage the senses in activities in mode of goodness. From mode of ignorance and mode of passion, one comes little bit to the mode of goodness. In that situation, what happens is, slowly, not immediately, if one is continuously engaging in mode of goodness and has some touch with the spiritual, you know, spiritual activities or with at least reading spiritual books, slowly the intelligence develops a little bit of discrimination. Viveka buddhi. Little bit of discrimination starts coming where the soul now uses the intelligence to understand little bit ki, nah, this is going to take me down. I should not do this. Oh, this is, you know, gross. I shouldn't be doing. I was doing this earlier, but now I know that this is sinful. I should not do this. So, little bit of intelligence gets utilized in understanding what these senses are offering me. These sense objects are coming before me. What the senses are offering. What the mind is saying when the sense objects are coming before me. Little bit the intelligence starts acting. And sometimes in this elevated state, slightly it is an elevated state of consciousness from the three wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. Slightly elevated. And in this state, sometimes the spirit soul comes in touch with the Paramatma. Little bit. And that Paramatma is the conscience which tells the person, no, no, you should not do this. This is not the right thing to do. So little bit that voice becomes active. Like Maharaj says, the good dog and the bad dog. So we start hearing a little bit more what our Paramatma is telling us from within. What intelligence is being provided by Paramatma. Because of coming into mode of goodness, sometimes we get that experience of the voice from within telling us, don't do this. However, important point to be noted is, this is not sufficient to overcome illusion. At best, this will keep us in the activities of the mode of goodness and will be bound in the activities of mode of goodness. So, only when we become fully situated in the activities of Krishna consciousness, which is the fourth consciousness that the Lord is referring to here, then and then only can we actually come out. Our challenge is that today we are engaging in these activities of Krishna consciousness. And if you think about it, these activities are actually taking us to a slightly elevated state of consciousness. You know, when, suppose for example, in wakefulness, ordinary wakefulness, what do we think of? If you're just sitting in one place, what thoughts come to our mind? So very naturally, our mind gravitates towards our occupation, our job, our regular service. You know, what are we doing on a day-to-day basis? We are working in an office, we are serving in the temple, we are, you know, doing some activities at home. Whatever we are doing, whatever is our daily occupation, and the worries and anxieties connected with it, immediately what happens? The mind goes towards that. एंड द इंटेलिजेंस स्टार्ट्स वर्किंग कि कुछ करो कुछ करो, ये देखो ये प्रॉब्लम है, ये प्रॉब्लम है, ये प्रॉब्लम. इट विल कीप रिमाइंडिंग यू ऑफ ऑल द एंग्जाइटीज एंड वरीज दैट यू हैव. इट विल नॉट अलाउ यू टू बी हैप्पी. द माइंड विल नॉट अलाउ यू टू बी पीसफुल. बाबा बैठो ना यार, शांति से मुझे बैठने दो, लेट मी जस्ट सिट फॉर 10 मिनट्स विदाउट यू ट्रबलिंग मी. नो, इट विल नॉट अलाउ. इट विल कीप यू एंगेज कंटिन्यूसली. बट वेन वी से नो टू हेल विद यू, आई डोंट वॉन्ट, लेट मी टेक शेल्टर ऑफ होली नेम. And we pick up the beads in our hand and we start chanting with intensity, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we start chanting with intensity, you know, if you come to Sankirtan, for example, there's a rip-roaring Kirtan going on in the temple and you come and you're dancing in the Kirtan, taking part, raising your hands and loudly chanting the holy names. What happens at that moment? Like for example, just now we raised our arms and chanted Hare Krishna. At that moment, all the material thoughts that are in our mind, for a moment, they vanish. For that moment, when we are chanting loudly Kirtan, when we are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra loudly, putting our full energy and effort into it, actually the thoughts, material thoughts, are kind of elbowed out, pushed out. But the moment we stop chanting, again it comes. Even if we continue chanting, if we don't chant with consciousness, we don't try to stick to that higher level of consciousness. The moment we chant, we go into a higher level of consciousness. The holy name is like that, so powerful. When we are hearing Bhagavatam, it has the ability. Bhagavatam is the transcendental words of the Lord, Supreme Lord and His pure devotees. Here we are reading what Krishna Himself is saying. These words have the potential to raise our consciousness from the mundane to the transcendental. But our unfortunate situation, we keep coming back to the mundane. The law of gravity pulls us down again. But the whole process of Krishna consciousness is what? Is to fight against that and raise our consciousness again. Yes, the modes of material nature will again bring you down. Maya will again trap you. Again, she will bring you down to your lowest level of consciousness. But every time we get up in the morning, we pick up our beads and we put energy into it. We put our life's energy, we dedicate that much time. No, this is my service to my Guru Maharaj. I must do it. Let me do it sincerely. When we chant with that sincerity, we chant with that energy, then our consciousness does get raised. Slightly. Even if we sometimes chant inattentively, for those portions of our japa where we are chanting attentively, we are being raised to a higher level of consciousness. If we are fortunate, in that higher level of consciousness, we will get some experience. Something. Some drop of nectar we will get in that higher level of consciousness. Whether it is while hearing Bhagavatam, while it is chanting the holy names, while offering flowers to the Lord during, you know, Shingar Aarti, whatever we are doing, whatever activity we are doing, if we are doing it as a service to the Lord in the right consciousness, we are struggling to stay in the right consciousness, that higher consciousness, Lord also reciprocates. He also slowly but surely, the holy name purifies our intentions. Srimad Bhagavatam purifies our intentions. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't just, it's not just spiritual, transcendental spiritual matter. It actually has the effect of purifying our intentions, purifying our desires. And then slowly but surely, we can come to this point, you know, which is mentioned in the translation. At that time, the entity will automatically renounce the material sense objects and the material mind. This is not impossible. It is possible. So, we have seen, there are so many examples in the scriptures. We see about Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. He was chanting the holy names. He had taken so much shelter of the holy names that even when a beautiful prostitute came before him in the dead of the night, in a lonely place, he was not affected. His senses were not agitated. So the sense object comes in front. But for a person whose consciousness is at a higher level, from the higher level, that person is able to see, no, this is not connected with Krishna. I don't want. You know? So our endeavor, so again, similarly, we have so many examples, like we have Sanatan Goswami also. Sanatan Goswami, one gold coin, you know, he gave up all his wealth. And even that one gold coin which his assistant was carrying, he did not want that. He said that if you want it, then you keep it and you go away. Don't be with me. He did not want anything because he realizes that when I have that gold coin, attachment is there. Any sense object, it doesn't require anything great to attract us and bring us back down to our base level of consciousness. Kuch jyada lagta nahi hai. Even simple things can bewilder. Like we hear the story of Sobari Muni. Just seeing fishes mating, he got bewildered. Such a great yogi. So therefore, it's not difficult in the material world to come to our, you know, steady state level of consciousness is not difficult. Just don't do anything, automatically the mind will take you in that direction. Kuch mat karo. But to raise our mind to that level of consciousness, that is yoga. That is the concept of connecting with the higher consciousness by staying connected with that higher consciousness for as long as we can, as sincerely we can, whether it is through chanting, it is through reading, it is through hearing, it is through worshipping the deities. When we get connected to that higher consciousness, then it is not difficult. Then by the Lord's grace, by the Lord's mercy, it is possible to overcome this material nature, these three modes of material nature. It is possible to overcome the urges of the mind and senses. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jivva vegam, udarapastha vegam. These urges that are constantly coming from within. Eh, abhi ye karo. Now do this. Go here. Enjoy this. Do that. Do this. All these urges that are coming from within, by the grace of the Lord, by being connected with this fourth state of consciousness, we will be able to overcome this. So, just to conclude, so only by the process of engaging our mind and senses in this fourth stage of consciousness, fourth and highest stage of consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness, the activities of Krishna consciousness, which Srila Prabhupada has given us, he's given us a whole array of activities. Whole day you can be engaged. No one has excuse ki baba, ye time of the day mere paas kuch hai nahi karne ke liye. If you want to, you can be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. Our problems we don't want. We want thoda respite bhi hona chahiye yaar, kya pura time kya bhakti karenge, you know, we want respite. But if we want it, Krishna consciousness is an unlimited process. You can do anything for 24 hours. You can do many things for 24 hours. So when we are engaged in this fourth and highest stage of consciousness, then and then only do we have a chance of extricating ourselves. Ourselves we can't do it. We need the grace of Guru. We need the grace of the Vaishnavas to extricate us, you know, from the bondage, the tight bondage and the mutual pact that the mind and senses have signed together with the intelligence assisting. Only by the grace of the Lord, by engaging in the activities of this fourth stage of consciousness, can we overcome this. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Any comments, questions, anybody? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki jaya.